Today's Perek in Tanakh is Shmuel Aleph, Perek Yutet. So yesterday we saw the ambivalent seeds of the confusion of love and hate in Shaul, and we watched as the most amazing context was created for Shaul to be able to give over the Malchut and the way in which that context ended up impacting it. So that clearly initially he was given over David, fell in love with David, wanted to teach him, to make him his Nosei Kelim. His own child, Yonatan, from whom he's partially estranged, is to him an expression of the very things that David is. And instead, what happened is that his initial love turns first, we saw, to jealousy, then to fear, ultimately to terror, and at the very end, he became his enemy. And that was the way in which we closed. He was an oyev from that point on to David, and at this point, he becomes really dangerous, desperately dangerous. Until now, what we saw is that there were moments in which he would lose control, in which his jealousy just came out, in which he attempted to kill David, but it was almost like a madness in the state of depression that he would have. But from now, it becomes a commitment. And the way the beautiful Medrash puts it is that this is really the pasuk in Shir HaShirim, where we talk about ki aza, ki mavet ava, and beautiful, kashe ki sha'ol ki na. Sha'ol obviously is a play on words of sha'ul. It's the fourth play on word that we've seen, sha'ol. So that it's not that these are two different things. The pasuk is presenting them as one thing. There's love that is as sharp as death. Kin'ah is as strong as the grave. So the interrelationship over here between the love and hate is what's essential. And this is exactly what we saw. What we saw is the development, really, of a ambivalence which is tearing Shaul literally to pieces. And it's the ambivalence that relates all the way back to the initial response of Shaul to the Malchut. And we've seen that initial response was, on the surface, an unwillingness to take the position, which becomes, in the end, self-doubt. And that self-doubt is the equivalent of the same type of psychological development in which the love becomes infatuation, which turns instead to jealousy, fear, and hatred. The same thing happens in his own soul. The Malchut to him, which originally we thought represented something that he was held so much that he shouldn't be exposing himself and he should be tsanua, ended up, we discovered, being based on an insufficiently developed personality. So that when the Pasuk spoke about Ben Shana Sha'ul b'malcho, it literally was pointing, as the Gemara says in a not nice way that they had to excuse themselves for, that maybe it means Ben Sha'ul like a child sitting in dirty diapers. Because the end is that's how he expresses himself, with a premature and a precocious type of malucha, which has its moments, and it in the end expresses so much self-doubt that at the very end of the story, he becomes now the one who is actually indicated by David himself to his own daughter as being the guy who never thought about anybody but himself and never worried about anything but kevod atzmo. We've seen that because of this, he can't commit himself to anything anymore. So what originally, astonishingly, this is brought out so powerfully, this is a man who's ready to kill Yonatan, because after all, I said the word. So because I said the word, we're going to have to kill my son. Now every word that he says means absolutely nothing. Amazing. He promised the guy who kills the Plishti, we're going to make him rich, and I'm going to give him my daughter, and his family is going to be the greatest. What happens? Obviously he's not rich, because the only thing that David can afford to give him is a couple of hundred of foreskins. And David says this. I mean, what am I supposed to do? You know, indicating between the lines. I mean, I was supposed to be rich, but basically I'm a poor man. That's what he says. And then he talks about his family. And we're wondering, why is he talking about his family? Because the Melech had said, and I'm going to make his family free. Yeah, well, my family is basically, you know, in the hands of the IRS. I mean, I don't know anything about free. So in that statement, what was he saying? He's saying, he talked about something, changed his mind. So now you're coming to me and you're saying, well, he wants you to get married, going to take Michal. Yeah, right. Did you notice how much money he gave me? Did you notice how he's taking care of my family? Did you notice what he did the last time he said I should get married? Come off it. So basically, you can't trust the guy for anything. The very next thing he's saying, well, we love David. You should come with me. Just every once in a while, I'll try to murder you. And the same thing happens, we're going to see, today, except that today it becomes a mad commitment, which is now a conscious commitment to destroy David. Until now, it's been entirely subconscious. And we've seen that Yonatan is trying his best to create a type of giving over the Melucha, which will be built on the love between the two of them, between Shaul and David and between Yonatan and David. This perek shows us how it fell apart. Vaydaber Shaul el Yonatan bino velkol avadav lamit et David. He actually speaks to his own son Yonatan, knowing full well what Yonatan feels about David. And he speaks to all of his people. Look, the guy's got to go. Now we're going to have to destroy him. We know that Yonatan not only loves him, but wants him to succeed, has given him over his own clothing to be the source of the continued melucha. Yes. It means that this was it. We saw also the extra hay in the love description, vayavehu. So that there is a very, very strong, same thing happened with Shaul. He loves David Ma'od. So that there's a sense of outgoing passion that's involved, not simply it's a nice relationship. And that should have been sufficient to carry things forward in the Melucha. And so he goes and he tells David, because up until now he's been the one that's really put David into danger. So he tells David, look, V'aged Yonatan David Levon, Mivakesh Shaul Avila Amitecha. My dad wants to kill you. Look, I want to find out whether it's real or whether I can deal with it. If I can deal with it, then let's keep trying. If not, you're going to have to run away. You know where he goes in the mornings. I'll go out there. You hide out. And I'm going to talk about you openly to my father. And then let's see. Let's see what he says. Vaydaber Yonatan b'David tov el Shaul aviv. Vayomer el aviv, tells his father straight out, Al yechata ha-melech b'avdo b'David. Don't do what you said you wanted to do, to murder him. Ki lo chatalach, he never did anything bad to you. V'chi ma'asav tov lecha ma'od. He's been wonderful to you. Vayasem et nafshar b'chai, he saved your butt, basically. You were out there, and everybody is looking and waiting for you, and he goes ahead, puts his life in his hands, God used him to make a teshuah, the entire nation. Let's be honest. Ra'ita vatismach. I was there. You saw it. You were so happy. Before this craziness went into you, you remember how happy you were. So just recreate that for yourself. Where all he's done for you is good. Vayishma Shaul, and that penetrated the Kol Yonatan. Vayishava Shaul, so Shaul swears, I swear to God, Chad Adonai imi yumat. So Vayikra Yonatan and David, and Vayaged lo Yonatan, called over him, he tells him over the entire conversation. And he insists to bring David back into the palace, Vayave Yonatan and David, El Shaul, Vayilifanav, Ketmo Shilshom, and then comes now, Vatosef Anil Chamaliyot, Vayetzi David, v'yelechem ha-plishtim, v'yach ben makah gedola, v'yanusu mipanav. And this again. Now Shaul again is upset. Vati ruach Adonai ra'ah el Shaul. He's there. Hu bebeito yoshev. V'chanito biyado. He's holding again his spear. David is sitting there playing for him. V'david minagen biyad. After saying the day before, I swear to God, v'yavakesho, lakot b'chanit b'david u'bakir. He again tries to stab him through the heart, go right through him into the wall. That he says, forget about it. So he moves away, he throws the chanit into the wall. That David says, I'm out of here. But David nas, he escapes because he realizes, I mean, all of his words, he could swear, shvua chamura b'shem Hashem, means nothing, man's crazy. So he decides he's going to surround David's home. He doesn't want to murder him right in front of his daughter, David's wife, Michal. So he figures, okay, we'll put people around the house. In the morning, we'll drag him in. So, vatageid le David, Michal ishto lemor, In inchame malaitet nafshecha halayla machara tamumat. Look, and she's in love with him. Remember, we saw two of Shaul's own children are taking the side of David against Shaul, and he doesn't realize this. Ad kedekach. So she tells him, if you don't get out of here tonight, tomorrow you're dead. Vatorid michal et Shaul barachalon. And so she lowers David out from the back of the house through a window. Vayelech, vayivrach, vayimaleit, and he runs away. Vatikach michal et atrafim. So she takes trafim, that are in the shape of a human, she puts it into the bed. She takes a kevir ha'izim, which looks like hair, so trafim don't have hair. This is wild. Sama mirashotav, that she puts on the front. Vatechaz babaget, and then she covers him up with a baget. Now, obviously, we know what's going on over here. I mean, anybody who reads this and has any sensitivity at all, this is absolutely wild. This is the relationship all the way back to Yaakov Avinu and Lavan, and they're running away with the trafim, and he's going to shout, Lama ganafta et Elohai, and this is now Rachel, and she's hiding the trafim b'kara gamal, and this is Yaakov himself using the begadim with the kvir ha'izim. I mean, it's all about appearances, about trafim, and this is exactly what Shmuel had warned Shaul about originally. You don't want to listen. It's the same thing as trafim, basically. Your life is going to come down to either being part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world or living in an insane world of black magic, which is exactly what happens. So it's Chatat Kesem, Mary. It's all going to come down to superstitions, to soothsayers, to trafim, to the Ov. And this is going to be your life. And this is the beginning of it.
Where do these trafim come from? Who's
I don't know.
That's strange.
It's very strange that she managed to have trafim, but maybe she knows exactly who she is.
Shrunken heads?
Some say, yeah, there are some Perushim say that it's literally shrunken heads.
Really?
So it's just, yeah.
What?
There's a whole pshat about the trafim of Rachel that used to use shrunken heads for telling who put Shemot in these shrunken heads. And they would foretell the future and things. Yeah, and we're going to see that this entire parak actually revolves around the difference between Nevi'ut on the one hand and Trafim on the other. Reality and unreality, basically. So she covers it over, so David never comes out. So he sends some police to grab him. Where is he? So she says, he's sick. Choleu. Now she's playing for time to give him enough time to escape. Vayishlach Shaul et ha-malachim lirot et David lemor. So he sends them back, and he says, okay, pretend you just want to find out how he's doing. Lirot et David, you know? But then bring him up here in his sick bed, and I'll kill him here. Halu oto b'mita elay l'amito. Vayavo ha-malachim hinei atrafim al amita. They come to take David, and it turns out there is no David. Ukvir ha-izim irashotav. Vayomer Shaul el Michal, exactly what Lavan says to Rachel. Lama kach harinitani, vatshalchiet oivi vayimaleit. How could you do this to me? Your own father. Vator Michal al Shaul. You know, you give me a bandit, murderer, as a husband, and then you ask me why I do anything? Are you kidding? Hu amar elai shalchini lama amitech. He said to me, why should I have to kill you? You better make sure that I get away scot-free, because if not, you're dead. Now, you know what kind of person he is. I mean, here's the proof. You realize you got to kill him. But I should be the little girl that's got to go through this whole business. First, you're in love with the nut. Then you come and realize he's crazy. And I'm the one who should pay the price. What did you expect me to do? Now, meanwhile, David barach, vayimaleit, vayavo el Shmuel aramata, Vayaged lo et kol asher asa lo Shaul, vayelechu uShmuel vayeshvu b'nayot. Now this is an amazing story. Because as Chazal understand it, what happens here is not that he expects Shmuel to deal with the issue, even though you would think that Shmuel, after all, is the one who was responsible for the Meshicha of these two Melachim, and he didn't do anything when he gave over the Meshicha to David. We saw that for Shaul, he kisses Shaul, teaches Shaul, and he takes him up to the Gog, has this whole discussion with him. For David, he basically goes through the motions and leaves, turns around and leaves. What David is going for is for what he didn't get the first time. He's not going for it, because obviously Shmuel was unable to do anything, because Shmuel said, Shaul will murder me. He said that originally when he had a tzivoy ben Hashemayim to go and to be Mosheach David. He says, Echelech v'yishba Shaul v'yargeni. So there's nothing he can do, and that's not why David was there. Therefore, the Gemara learns that binayot b'ramah is a contradiction. Nayot is not Ramah. It's always called Ramah. How did it all of a sudden there get to be a Nayot in the Ramah? Therefore, says the Gemara, what it means is that they were Osek binayo shel olam, which means, when he says later, when it comes time to build the Beit HaMikdash, Hakol b'chtav miyad Hashem was a lie that is from here. He and Shmuel sat down to define the building of the Beit HaMikdash, all of the dinim of Midot and Tamid, and this was written down, so that all of that was Bichtav Me'et Hashem, which is amazing. In other words, the man, all of that. The way the Medrash puts it is, B'nayot B'ramah, Ramah is B'ramah of Me'ah. So that what another Talmid Vatik, the Lashon is, what a Talmid Vatik would have taken 100 years to learn, he learned in that night. So the things that he wanted from Shmuel, things that Shmuel had given over to Shaul, that's what he wanted. And that's what he got. So take a look at the difference between the two people. I mean, Shaul is going downhill in a spiral, which takes him completely away, not only from Shmuel, but from the whole concept of Nevi'ut, and from trustworthiness and belief, and that the issue of Shmuel is that he was Ne'eman Le'Navi. That's what he was. So that the Ne'emanut that is in Shmuel is exactly what's disappearing now from Shaul. And gradually he's led until the last day of his life, he's led all the way down to the Maaseh of the oath. On the other hand, the moment that David kills Goliath, what does he become aware of? Yerushalayim. Takes the head, which has nothing to do with Yerushalayim at that point. Nobody knows about Yerushalayim at that point. So, and yet it says right there, by the way, this was the Rosh that would be put in Yerushalayim in years to come. Who cares? Because that was the point. His life was aimed towards that moment. And that's the closing of the book. The closing of this book is the moment that the Malach is aimed on top of Gor and Aravna Yevusi, and the place for the Beit HaMikdash to be is purchased. That's Nayot. And that ends the book. So that means David represents in his entirety the dreams of Ramah, which we'll say today, Al Ramah. It's Al Ramah, it means you're on a different level. You're thinking about life in a different way. And Shaul is somebody who's spiraling down to hell, which is Kasheh Misha'ol Kina. So that Kina is dragging him down, whereas the fear to David is exactly what David always talks about. Whenever he's feared, he talks about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that when we do the David, Hashem Ori, V'yishi, Mimi'ira, all of that is the dream of Achash Alti Beit Hashem, Shifti Beit Hashem. So here he is terrorized, and the people that he trusts are trying to murder him. And what does he do? Shifti Beit Hashem. So he goes and runs to Shmuel to at least be able to taste what it would be like. So we're really getting a sense of that idea of David that we saw yesterday, the ease and carelessness with which the very things that Shaul is convinced he's going to destroy him end up making him successful. So to the point where Shaul is literally trembling. He does these things to destroy David. Everything he does to destroy David is what makes David more likely to succeed. I'll give him Michal. She'll kill him. She saved him. I'll send him out to be the guy that goes to every war. Vayikar David Ma'od. He becomes Mr. Fame. He was supposed to be killed. What an idiotic thing to do. He's not going to be killed. The more that you try to destroy him, the greater he's going to become. Which, of course, is what happens with Esther, who needs to be Metaken Shaul. These two elements come out totally in the Purim story. And that's the remez to the Binyamin Ze'ev Yitro. That's the Baboker, and that's the Ba'erev. The Baboker is Shaul, the Ba'erev is Esther and Mordechai. So what happens over there is Achashverosh becomes Shaul. Exactly. He becomes mad, paranoid, to the point where if his own wife attempts to enter the palace, she has to be shot. Exactly what happens to Shaul. Nobody's telling me anything. Why is this happening? There's obviously a plot afoot. He goes crazy. On the other hand, Haman is learning that everything that he tries to do is used against him. So he wants to destroy Mordechai. We'll take the sus asher HaMelech rochev alav etzom, and we'll build Mordechai. So those two issues come out in what should have been the proper giving over of the Malchut to Yehuda. And this Yehuda went to take responsibility for that. That's the Aravon of Yehuda. And instead, he ends up building him exactly as Haman did. So he had his opportunity. And what's beautiful is that now, in a magical way, magical, we said that Shaul is given every opportunity, and that people's vision of Shaul's being treated rottenly and being put into a hopeless situation is totally wrong. He's given every opportunity to fix things so that he could end up being the greatest. And his final opportunity is the man who's chasing, ultimately, after Trafim, as he discovers. Don't you see where it's leading you? That's the message. I told you in the beginning, Shmuel says to him. I said it's Chatat Kesem Meri. I said that Haftzar is like Trafim. And look, you're chasing after David, and what do you find? Trafim. Ramaut. So we're going to give you one last chance. And what's the one last chance? To recreate the moment that he became Melech. What happened when he became Melech? The siman, the ultimate siman that Shmuel gives him, the only one that's recorded as having actually happened, is the one in which he meets the Lahakat Nevi'im. And he becomes a Navi. Now watch what happens now. So, Vayishlach Shaul Malachim Lakachat et David, Vayaret Lahakat HaNevi'im. This is crazy. This was the original sin. Lahakat HaNevi'im are coming down, and they're playing music. See, he sends now the police. The police are coming to Shmuel, and here comes a Lahakat HaNevi'im, Nib'im. Shmuel is Omed Nitzav Aleihem, and Shmuel himself is with this group of Nevi'im, and all of the Malachim of Shaul suddenly have this Ruach Elohim Vayitnabu Gamim. The people he sends become Nevi'im. So Shaul says, this is outrageous. We'll send another group to rescue them. So he sends another group. He figures these guys, they have never been Nevi'im. Nope, sure enough, they never make it up there. He sends yet a third group. So he says, that's it, I'm going myself. Vayelech gamu haramata. So he goes up to Ramat Shmuel. Vayavo ad bor hagadol asher basechu. Vayishal vayomer efosh Shmuel v'David. So he's looking basically at the very Sheol to which Kina leads. Right? There he is, looking into a pit. Where is Shmuel and David? Well, they're benayot, b'rama. Vayelech shamel nayot b'rama. Vatehi alav gamu ruach Elohim. There he is speaking of things that are beyond him until he gets there and he tears off the clothing that he wants so desperately to hold on to. These are the bigdei malchut that Yonatan had given away to David. He takes off those clothing. This is so remarkable.
Who's taking off?
Shaul, because he's going nuts as a Navi, he can't control his body.
He's taking his own clothing.
He rips off his own clothes, and there he is naked the whole day. So he's stripped down to his simple humanity, in which there's no longer any big day malchut. This is exactly what happens to Michal when she's cursed by David. She says, you're kicking your feet up without underwear. Now, he's stripped down completely. And this is what David tells her at that time. Your father never stripped down, did he? He was always too careful about himself, always too worried about himself. I don't worry. And so here, Vayivshad gamhu begadav, Vayitnabe gamhu lifnei Shmuel. So he too lives at that moment in a completely different Ramah. Vayipol arom kol hayom ahu v'kol halayla, al kein yomru hagam Shaul b'nevi'im. So that means that the same words that was, where did that saying come from? When he was a youngster. At the very beginning, people said, you know what? You could say Agam Shaul b'Nevi'im because he's a kid, and you could say Agam Shaul b'Nevi'im because he's completely wrecked his life. And you can go back to also being b'Nevi'im. When he heard that, you think that it didn't shake him into thinking that he could be a kid again, that he could do it again, that he could start over, he could begin in nakedness to build himself up to be what he wanted to be, and he didn't. So as far as all of this stuff about, yeah, Yeah, Rosebud, exactly. This was his opportunity to become something real. And instead, David has to run, and he spends now a mad remainder of his life chasing.